Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
12:05 it is now. Keep trucking on the text 087 032 32 32. That's the WhatsApp. The text is 51551. Oliver at RTÉ.ie is the email. Mick Foster and Tony Allen started out on a bit of a music career there, and the year was 1975. They went off to London as part of a larger band, tried their hand as a duo, and then very quickly, that twosome, as we know them today, Foster and Allen, has 40 albums under their belt. They're celebrating 50 years with a special anniversary tour and a new album as well, but they're here in studio for a catch-up. Mick Foster and Tony Allen, you're very welcome. Thank you very much.
How are you doing, sir? Happy Christmas.
Same to you. You're in good form.
We're in the best of form,
in
yeah.
good form.
You're on your music mics at the moment, so there's a bit of reverb there. But this is the live sound check you'd be used to, I'd imagine.
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes, you know. I'm going to get a sound check. Even if it's halfway through the
year. Even if it's reverb, it doesn't matter.
You show up with an accordion and a guitar and you'll lash at it.
That's it. No, that's it. Let her go.
Come here, tell us, since you're celebrating 50 years together, when do you remember the first gig you had together?
We do well.
Yeah?
It was in the Prince of
this
Wales
is Mick now.
Pub in Kilburn Park, just off Kilburn High Road.
Oh, right.
And we did a week there. And we decided that's it. We'll go ahead just with the two of us. You know, there was less of a bill to pay of a Sunday evening, you know, with no band.
Okay. And how did you kind of, did you chat to each other as part of the band? This was the Mary Landers.
Well, that was, yeah, we were playing with, I was singing with a guy called Doc Carroll and the Night Runners at that time, and Mick had joined the band, but Mick had spent years before that trying to convince me to give up the band business and go as a two-piece.
Yeah.
He had seen the Alexander Brothers in Mullingar from Scotland, and he figured that we should be a night. Of course,
work.
I was in the show band scene. It was great crack playing at dances and driving around the country. But after the week in London, he didn't need to convince me anymore. We came home with money, actually, in our pockets after a week. No, it was great.
That made sense.
Made a lot of sense, yeah.
Total sense.
Yeah. And Camille, growing up, were you from musical households? Tony?
Yeah, there was nine of us, nine in our family, and they all played some kind of... My brother, Tom, T.R. Dallas, he's in the country music business, has been for all his life. He was in that band with us, actually. My brother Jack had a band called Alan Dale, and all involved in music in some shape or form. And all the grandkids are all in.
And Tony, your old fella, he played the fiddle.
He played the fiddle, he did, and he was a decent enough fiddle player. And my mother died very young. She died at 62,
she was
a very, very good singer and had a lot of very, very good folk songs. And of course, we were into the show bands and didn't pass any remarks on the amount of songs she had. And when she was gone, we were sorry that we didn't, you know. Well, in those days, you didn't have mobile phones or recording system to pick somebody singing a song.
It's a pity,
you know?
But it's in the memory.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
It is. So you were 100% Westmeath and this lad was over the hills.
Yeah, he was over, and we dragged him in screaming. And
Mick, you're Kildare man.
Yeah, I was born outside Ballymore, Eustace. Yeah. And
I thought you were going to say you were born outside
Wedlock. No, I don't think I was. And 65 and a half years ago, we moved down to Westmeath.
Yeah.
And they're not going to kick me out now. There's no point.
There's no hope now.
And
was it a nun that taught you the accordion?
Yeah, I learned in secondary school in Ballymahan. I learned to read a bit of music, and she taught me the finger and all this carry on. But it was the first cousin of Joe Dolan's, Frank Gavigan, a former All-Ireland button accordion champion. He taught me all me traditional music and...
You had the top people.
Steered me to win three All-Irelands back when God was in the short trousers, you know.
Yeah. It's hugely competitive then.
It was back then, and it still is, you know. It's still very... Although piano accordions are in Westmeath now, they're as scarce as a hen's tooth.
Are they really? And you go to Flas, don't you?
Oh, I do.
And Mullingar had the Fla.
We had it for 2 years.
2 years, there,
after, well, 63, and then... It was whatever length of time until we had it for 2 years. But the very first flower was in Mullingar in 51.
When you see an accordion marching band, though, they generally have the piano accordions, don't they?
Yeah, well, they have all kinds of accordions, especially up north. Now, there'd be a lot of accordion marching bands. But Never was involved in that because I didn't fancy walking and playing at the same time. I was going to sit down and
some
play.
Some skill, yeah, yeah. Stick to what you're good at.
You never do one or the other. You walk or play.
And you were living a few miles apart, very different interests. Is some one of you into football and the others into hurling?
Yeah, I love the Gaelic football.
Tony's the football man.
Mick's the big hurling
and
fan.
Mick the Kildare man is a hurling man.
Well, you see, my mother's people were all from Tipperary.
Ah, there you go.
And my great-grandfather played in the first All-Ireland hurling final in 1888, which was held in Burr, Tipperary against Galway, which Tipperary won. And another relation captained Tipperary to win the All-Ireland in 1961. But I never played hurling.
I was about to say, well, no, you had it in
the
blood.
I never played football or hurling. I boxed and I played handball and I still play handball.
Oh, do you?
But
you give up the boxing.
Lads used to say to me, why did you not play football or hurling? I says, I was too cowardly. But they said, but you boxed. I says, yeah, but the lad in front of me, I knew he was going to try and kill me. Not lad come from behind and kill me. It was safer.
It was different in those days, for sure. Yeah, yeah. But did it take a bit of bravery to get up on the stage?
No, a bit. No, I did my first performance in December 1960. Mm. And I wasn't nervous then, and I'm still not nervous now. When we were playing in pubs years ago, the only thing that made us nervous was if there was a small crowd in the case, we wouldn't get paid.
There's a common theme of this. Oh, yes. Tony, did you get nervous?
Not so much. Well, I think the fact that there's two of us is a huge help, the chances of something happening both of us at the one time is fairly slight, you know. But not really, no. Now, if I was doing something on my own, I'd be a bit nervous. If I was doing a spot at a concert or charity thing or something and you're on your own, it's a bit different.
And you never needed any Dutch courage? Never drink, neither of these?
Both of us are near enough non-drinkers, you know. We wouldn't be... We'd take a drink now and again, but I don't think any of us... Mick wouldn't take a drink before he plays.
No interest.
The only thing that'd make me nervous if I had a couple of drinks before I played.
Yeah. Mm. It would never really happen by the sound.
No, it never happened. But, well, a session, you know, a trad session that happened... One night I had a few drinks and my wife, Myra, who plays in the band with us, but at this trad session she was playing the piano right beside me and at one stage she says to me, you're playing with someone else's fingers. As I think every six notes I hit, four of them was wrong. And I thinking that was mighty, you know.
That was the end of that? Yeah, you thought you were great.
Full of Jamieson.
Full of the jammy.
Yeah.
And that would you'd have a nip at Christmas time when you're off then, would you?
I'd drink a glass of wine now and again. But
glass of wine.
I wouldn't drink with the spirits. I couldn't drink beer or Guinness or anything like that, you know.
Ah, very good. So come here, the tour starts up again. You're forever touring.
The 27th we're in the Greville Arms in Mullingar.
That's Saturday tomorrow week, isn't it?
Yeah, and then the next night we're in
now
June.
We're getting nervous.
That's the 27th, 28th, and then the 30th we're in Abishrood, which is only down the road from me, so... only 4 miles outside Mullingar, so that's a handy one, and 20 minutes from Abishrool, another handy one.
And are you basically going around nearly every county in Ireland for the next couple of months?
More or less, yeah. We started Stevens's night after Stevens, 27th, and we walk right through to the end of March. No, we're not going to walk every night. We do about 25 to 6 dates, you know. It will be all over the country.
Yeah, we go as far north as Belfast or Cookstown and as far south as Bantry.
Yeah. So you'll get 32 counties, more or less, about 30 counties.
I get most of them in, at some stage. We'll go through most of the money.
Is it the goal with 50 years? Is that what you wanted to do?
No. Just that's the way Peter Cassidy is our manager. That's the way he put in the dates. So we have to follow that, yeah.
You let him. Yeah. What sort of do you think now at the moment of the highlights of those 5 decades together and the things you've done together, travelled around the world... Mm-hmm. Television, live television on BBC, Top of the Pops, that must be up there in the memories.
Well, for me, Top of the Pops is at the top, yeah. That was back in 82, I was still reasonably young and I was a huge Top of the Pops fan, you know.
Yeah, Mick had never watched it.
He'd never seen
Top of the Pops till I was on it.
Top of the Pops and the Monkees, they were the two big shows that you had to see every week.
Yes.
Know? And as Mick said, he never knew until we arrived to do Top of the Pops.
And you play two songs on Top of the Pops, do you?
No, we did a bunch of time. The following year, they played Maggie, but they didn't show us.
Because
it was charting. How many weeks was either of those songs in the charts over there?
Well, Bunch of Time went to number 18 in the British charts. It was there for a couple of weeks, and it was in the charts altogether for maybe 5 or 6 weeks, top 40. You know?
And was it Maggie then was 40 weeks?
Bunch of Time was a huge hit here, you see. It was in the charts forever here. We had, I think, about 5 or 6 songs in the British top 30 over the 4 or 5 years.
Incredible.
That's great. Yeah.
An incredible run.
Yeah. Gives you a big lift in the business.
Who else was on Top of the Pops that night?
The Boomtown Rats were there that night.
Really?
Dexys Midnight Runners, Adam and the Ants, the Nolans were there. The Goombay Dance Band were number one with their 7 tiers. I'm trying to think who else was there.
And your man over that Goombay Dance Band, he was 8 and 5. And so they had the buckets of sand and buckets of water everywhere.
He was a fiery.
They wouldn't get away with that nowadays.
No, there'd be no one in the studio.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Mick, you were upset because they made you. You didn't have the accordion on your knee that night.
I had the accordion, and I thought, you know, that accordion wouldn't look that well on Top of the Pops. So, you know, I'd be agreeable enough of an egot, and. They said, would you use a guitar? Now, me and a guitar wouldn't even be on a nodding acquaintanceship.
You look very comfortable with it. I saw the clip on YouTube. Now, the top comment is, I've never seen Mick with a guitar before.
Well, Tony had to show me the chords and all that stuff.
Go away.
But anyway, I had to borrow a guitar.
To borrow it.
The thing about it all was that Dexys Midnight Runners were on after us and they had an accordion.
Go away.
So
that got you head up like nothing else.
Well, no, don't get head up. No, if they wanted me to play a bass and they would have played it, you know, it didn't matter.
So anything else?
It didn't matter.
What in the name of God are you wearing in that clip? You're wearing green satin knee-high stockings.
Yeah, those outfits came from the Barry Lyndon film. But not
Did
green
they?
And white, no, they were different colours.
Yeah.
Jimmy McGee came up with the idea.
Let's use that Stanley Kubrick film about an 18th century feud.
He dressed up for a sleeve of an album we just made.
Very good.
And we went to America in March, and of course we decided we'll get the suits made in green and white for America. Mm. And then while we were there, the Bunch of Time goes into the British charts. And on our way back from America, we had to do Top of the Pops. So we didn't have any time to go and change it. We'd wear them anyway for the crack, you know. And so they got more coverage than the song, you know.
What do you do nowadays to wind down, to relax when you're not in the middle of touring?
We don't wind up. We're the very same on stage as we are at home. Or
totally steady.
Yeah, I never turned on or turned off. I'm the same kind of a lug, whether I'm at home or on stage or wherever.
That's pure Midlands now, isn't it? Just flat.
Yeah,
flat, all the very, time, flat.
Yeah. Oh, total bugs, yeah.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But do you watch, obviously you follow sport, but you must sit down and watch the odd film. Would you go to other gigs that you're not performing in?
I wouldn't, but Tony would.
Yeah, I would. Well, see, my wife, Trina, it was Daniel O'Donnell's backing singer. So if Daniel is touring Ireland, I would take her to the gigs, you know. So so that's my treatment for the year.
Watch
Daniel from backstage.
Do you go travelling? Would you holiday?
No, I'm not a holiday person.
No,
at all,
really?
No.
Well, I was on a... Myra myself, as I say, Myra is my wife and she's also our band leader and keyboard player, so I can't get away from her either at home or on the road. But we went on
she's our wife.
Yeah.
Band wife.
Whatever we have is half and half, you know. But anyway, we went upon a...
You're getting no dinner today now, you know.
Yeah, you're getting nothing.
You go home, you know.
No, but
that's Christmas finished.
She's singing
for you.
with a choir in one of these homes today, so she won't hear it, please God. Or I could be starving tonight.
She'll hear about it.
Yeah,
why did you make the bloody dinner then for
once? We went on a cruise and it was grand around the Greek islands and stuff like that. But you know, that's 2 or 3 we're after doing, and that's enough for me. I'm
wasn't
not
your
a holiday person anyway.
But you had to do a lot of travelling for shows.
Well, look, we've done Australia 20 times.
My God.
New Zealand 15 times. South Africa numerous times.
4 times.
America, Canada, and Ireland and the UK. So we did a lot of travelling.
Was it always work, or would you add a holiday when you travel?
Sure.
You just come straight home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No touring around? No. You just like being at home.
Wouldn't even go out and about when we're there, you know. Well, I wouldn't. I
at
no
one stage, it was we were advised, you know, to go up to a place called Broome, which is the this whatever you call these perilled capital of Australia.
Oh yeah.
And so, you know, we took the advice, which was very bad advice, but we went anyway, just Myra and myself. And I would be terrified of a snake on the television.
Right.
And inside the bedroom door, there was a big saying, keep the door closed at all time in case of snakes.
Don't feed the snakes.
So I stepped with one eye open for the week that we were up there.
You didn't sleep that time at all.
I says, that's enough. Goodbye.
Back home.
Oh, back home to Brad Conrad and that area.
And at home, do you have a farm, Mick?
Is it I used to have, but
you're tired out of that.
No, I just have a couple of horses as a pastime. And we used to have race horses between us, Tony and myself, and back, you know, years ago. But
are you in Westmead, Tony?
I live in Lurgan up in Armagh.
You're up the north.
I'm from
Westmead.
I'm from Temple outside Moat. Yeah.
So you moved up north?
Yeah, but Trina was living up there when I met her. So
how are you finding life up there?
I found it grand and quiet, peaceful.
He moved to Westmead and he moved out.
I know. And the accent really got in you, Tony, as well, north.
Still, I have it, yeah. There's so many different accents up there.
You slow everything down nicely when you start chatting to them.
Come here, you
started in pubs and in the dance hall scene. It must have been a hard slog in the heyday.
Well, it wasn't because we were both fairly young, you know, and the crack was good in the
It was constant though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, back in the early 70s and mid-70s, you'd be working 7 nights a week for July, August and September, you know, which was great.
You maintain you've never had an argument?
No.
So, not yet anyway.
I don't know what to make of that.
There's no pain to start now.
Do you talk to each other at all during the day?
Every other
day. Even on the, you know, when we're not touring, we'd be a couple of times a week on the phone.
Would you, yeah.
But chatting
about what?
God knows, anything. It could be anything.
It's not broadcast.
Somebody's hard luck.
Yeah.
I was laughing reading an interview. It was about 3 years ago. It was at the place in England. And you said, the plan, unless one of us kicks the bucket in the meantime, is to get to the 50 years of show business. Yeah. You're here now.
Yeah.
And
none of us kicked the bucket yet.
No, no. And I think it's Tony saying this. After that, I'd say, we keep going till one of us kicks the bucket, then the other fellow will have one great year and that'll be the end of it.
That'll be the haul off.
That'll be it, yeah.
It'll be goodbye, Foster.
It's like a pact you have.
More or less, yeah, more or less.
The problem now is that it's looking like we're going to get to the stage where the lad that'll be left won't be able to do it.
That's the problem.
You seem very well now. You're well able to put on a
show.
We're
in good shape enough, yeah.
We're not too bad, you know.
So you'll just keep on going.
We only do three and a half months a year, so it's no big deal.
And you like it?
We're playing music since we were going to national school, so we'll keep. While we're able, we'll play.
This is your life. Will you play us out with a tune?
Why wouldn't we?
What are you going to play, Mick?
It's a song written for us by P.J. Murray from County Clare. P.J. is a great singer-songwriter, wrote several songs for us. He even wrote one there that Donough O'Doole and Daniel O'Donnell, and himself. It was called Life in the Old Dog Yet, but that's not what we're doing. We owe it all to you.
He wrote
this for us when we were 40 years on the road.
Go away.
So he's taking an extra bit in for the. We changed it to 40.
So all we had to do was change from 40 to 50, and it was the same song, do you know?
Brilliant.
So whenever you want us, you shall we go ahead.
Starting December the 27th, that Saturday week, Foster and Allen are playing gigs across every county of Ireland, more or less, from Cavan to Cork, Dublin to Mayo.
That's it.
And all the fans, they'll know where to find the details by now. Dates and tickets on fosterandallen.ie. The album 50 at 50 is there as well. Fosterandallen.ie. Thanks for the chat, lads.
Thank you very much. Happy Christmas to you.
Same to you and many.
Yeah. Right.
In 1975, the journey did begin.
With songs about the blacksmith and the rambles of spring.
Later came the bunch of time and made our dreams come true.
When we topped the pops in England back in 1982.
50 years upon the stage, oh how the time has flown. With our good friends around us, how we never walked alone. You've always been our guiding light in everything we do. I'm Foster
and I'm Alan,
and we owe it all to you.
I will love you all my life, a song dear to our hearts.
New Zealand and Australia called for Maggie top the charts.
They loved our songs in Canada and in the USA.
South Africa holds memories we cherish to this day.
50 years upon the stage, oh how the time has flown. With our good friends around us, how we never walked alone. You've always been our guiding light in everything we do. I'm Foster
and I'm Alan,
and we owe it all to you.
We often wonder to ourselves just where the time has gone.
But the old flame is still burning, and the show goes on and on.
So we keep on playing the old squeeze box and the songs you love to hear.
And we're glad you hold us in your hearts after all these years. 50 years upon the stage, oh how the time has flown. With our good friends around us, we never walked alone. You've always been our guiding light in everything we do. I'm Foster
and I'm Alan,
and we owe it all to you. I'm Foster,
I'm Alan,
and we owe it all to you.
Yeah. Hey, smiles on their faces. Thanks a million. Mick Foster on accordion and Tony Allen on guitar. Have a happy Christmas and
you
enjoy
too,
the
sir.
Tour.
Same to you.
Hey, Burlett.